And mainly, when you get right down where the rubber meets the road, the most important separations or acts of separations are done by Almighty God. There are certain people that He sets aside to serve Him. They're called His election. There are ultimately, in the end, those that are gathered together in a net, and the good are saved, and guess what happens to the bad? They're separated. They're tossed. Okay? So our Father utilizes separation as a form of judgment, in a sense, or in certain cases, it is judgment. So open your Bibles, if you would, and let's see how God operates and what He would have us know. Because let me tell you, if He chooses you as one of His election and teaches you about separation, there comes a time when He expects you to do it. No ifs, no ands, no maybes. And if you don't, and you end up in false teaching, whose fault is it? Is it God's? Of course not. If He teaches you better, and you still choose to go otherwise, that's your trip. And but God does separate to the point that in educating you, He lets you know He has His hand on you, that He wants to use you. And then after that, let's take Paul as an example. Poor old Paul gets used as an example quite often. Let's pick it up, if we may, in Galatians chapter 1. If you'll open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. And remember Paul's separation. He was on the road to Damascus, and he had a paper in his pocket that he was able to persecute the church, the Christian church in Damascus, all he so chose, if you would. That was what his full intention was, as it is written in the great ninth chapter of Acts. And on that road, God struck him down. And we find that in verse 15 of chapter 9, the great book of Acts, that God chose him from before as His chosen vessel. He separated him. He put bounds on him. He wanted to use him. And Paul takes this up in Galatians chapter 1. Let's pick it up with verse 6. We'll just pick it up as we roll here. With that word of wisdom from our Father, Paul states, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I marvel at how easy you people can be twisted around. How you can't discern the Word of God. You said, here I leave a little ways and somebody else comes in, and I planted the seed, and you allow them to mislead you. Now, number one, how is it that you can tell when someone's trying to mislead you? When they part from the Word of God and go a different direction into man's traditions, then you're headed for trouble. And if you're not smart enough, if you're not wise enough to protect yourself away from man's traditions and go with your loving Father, hey, you kind of deserve the trip you get. But Paul, that's what Paul's talking about. I am amazed at how quick you can be hogswoggled. Now, that isn't exactly what the word he used, but that's what it means. Okay? Verse 7. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. In other words, they call it Christianity. It goes by that same name, but it sure doesn't fit what the word says. Verse 8, but though we, and Paul includes himself, we and I, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And unfortunately, that's what happens. If you begin to listen, for example, in the Old Testament, it's written in Ezekiel chapter 13, from verse 18 through about 25. If you listen, God said, if you listen to those that try to teach you to fly to save your soul, I'm against it. Don't like it. Won't have anything to do with it. And yet you've got people today that'll fall into that wagon because it feels comfortable. And usually, unfortunately, the same person will say, you don't have to understand God's word, the book of Revelation. It's sealed. Well, it's sealed, but the Lamb opened it, okay, to where we can understand. And if you listen to man, if you allow man to close God's word to you, then suffer. That's all I can say about it. You ask for it. Don't be hoodwinked by traditions of man. Verse 9. As we said before, so may I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. And so we have a repeat, 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Question. Or do I seek to please men? Am I out here just sweet soaping everybody, saying pleasing words to men and not truth? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. In other words, if you're a man pleaser, teaching traditions of man to gather a crowd. Do you know that most people that just care about gathering crowds say never teach above a fourth grade education and never, never, never touch anything controversial or you'll offend someone. And always do that that's politically correct, not that that's morally correct. Who would want to be and belong to a bunch like that? You know, that's terrible. You've got to stand for something. Stand for Christ. Stand for your Father's letter that He has personally written to you to understand that word and let it be the center of your life. 11, but I certify you. Paul is saying here, I'm swearing to you. That's what certifying means. Brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I did not get it from man. You all know how he got it. He got it on the road to Damascus when Jesus asked him, Paul, why do you persecute me? He got Paul's attention because Paul was a set-aside vessel, as it's stated in that 15th verse of the same chapter. Verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He revealed it to me. But now don't be one of these that just switches it in gear and says, I don't have to learn from any man. All I have to do is let the Holy Spirit touch me and I know everything. You would be deceiving yourself if that's what you thought. Because Paul was a scholar of scholars. It's just that he did not have the final cap, the little rock that goes on the top of the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. It's missing in his book. And he missed the chief, in other words, he missed the coming of Jesus Christ. But he knew more Bible than most people because he studied with Gamaliel. And the wisest of the wise, aside from Christ himself walking the earth to study God's word, he spoke more languages. He knew the Roman tongue, the Greek tongue, the Hebrew tongue, the Aramaic tongue. He could speak in all those languages and had studied God's word in all those languages. But he didn't not learn of Christ from man. But he learned from Christ when Christ struck him down that day on the road to Damascus. God was separating him, choosing him. I don't know, some of you he's chosen as well, and you know it. He intends to use you, and you're an able and willing vessel. And that's why God separates at times. Verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversion in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. I was trying to destroy the Christian church. And I was doing it in the name of religion. I thought it was right. I thought I was doing right. Do you know how zealous Paul was? he was as zealous in the false religion as he was in as a Christian. He worked at it. He didn't do something halfway. He worked at it, okay? And you all know his conversion on the road to Damascus, 14. And profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals. I was good. Man, I could gather a crowd in a minute. I could teach it. I was successful at it. In mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But you see, beloved, the traditions of men won't cut it. The traditions of men will not get it done. Okay. But it's your heavenly Father, his traditions, his word. And don't ever let anyone pull you away from that with soothsayings or sweet talk, trying to make the gospel easy. You don't have to know the word. All you have to do is believe. Believe what? The Antichrist? Do you know he's coming first? You've got to be prepared. Verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me, underline that word, he separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. He chose me before I even left that womb. This word separated in the Greek is aphorizo. It's spelled A-P-H-O-R-I-Z-O, pronounced aphorizo. And it means to set bounds, to choose for service, to mark as a servant. I don't know, has God marked you? He marks you by placing the truth in your mind, whereby you cannot live without it. It's your food. It's your being. It's what makes life worth living. God. Who did it say here? But it pleased God who separated. God did the separating, not man. And called me by his grace, his love. Grace kind of too is unmerited favor. Paul had weaknesses. Paul even said in one place, I set out to do one thing and it seems like I always end up doing what's wrong. You know, bless his heart. You know, he was honest about it anyway, wasn't he? You know, a lot of people are not. We just don't get it done sometimes. But Paul was honest in that. And he loved the Father. And he repented. And he got back to it. But God chose him. God chooses his own election. And I'll go a little deep here for a moment and get it simple. Why did he choose him from the womb? Because he knew him in the first earth age. Where did we all come from? We all came from God. Why? We were with God. And God knew, he, like God would tell little old Jeremiah, I chose you before you ever entered your mother's womb. Why? He overcame in the first earth age when Satan rebelled. Jeremiah was fighting him then, and he's fighting him when Jeremiah lived, and he'll be fighting him again in the millennium. And he'll fight him whenever God brings that army with him, because I have no doubt Jeremiah will be with him. God chooses those he knows he can trust that are warriors, that can cut it, that can get it done, that don't just talk religion, but are Christians. And Christianity is not a religion, it's a reality, it's life. Verse 16, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, that's to say the unbelievers, Gentile, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I didn't have to go somewhere else. Once I realized Christ had come, that he was Messiah, Yeshua the Messiah, then he was already taught. And with the unction of that Spirit touching him, 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. I came back to Damascus, but I came back for a different reason this time. Not to destroy the Christian church, but to help it. You know, the dear congregation was a little skittish when Paul shows up. to help it when they know his reputation. He's been trying to destroy them. And all of a sudden, it takes a step of faith to have this preacher, this apostle, come along and say, I'm of God. Well, he hadn't walked with the 12. And all of a sudden, he said, Jesus taught me, and I'm on your side. You would kind of be a little bit nervous, not trusting. But his faith was so strong, and he was such an excellent teacher. He knew that word, beloved, and that gave him the ability to teach, to plant seeds, and to love the Lord. Verse 18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Do you know what happened to him while he was there? There was a plot to murder him. They had to help him scoot out of there, all right? Does it bother you to run against a little opposition? Or do you get your comb red and fight? Okay, which is it? That's really kind of an old country saying. I probably shouldn't have said it even. But, you know, you can't be somebody that is a noodle, a wet noodle, that goes with the flow, you know. Well, whatever is easiest. Baloney. Right's right and wrong's wrong. Up is up and down is down. And when you draw a line, stand for something, all right? And let it always be our Heavenly Father, all right? Be ready to make a difference. Paul went to Jerusalem. He didn't need a whole lot from there. He always took stuff to them, all right? And unfortunately, some of them wanted to kill him when he went there. 19. And other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. I did see him there. In other words, they didn't help me one iota other than those I saw. He's letting you know I received this of the Father so that you can. Okay? You can receive it of him. He wrote you this letter. The word is complete. Get into it. Stay with it. And don't let traditions of men pull you in a ditch. Okay? Now the things which I write unto you before, behold, God, I lie not. You can count on them. You can listen to the word. You know, Paul wrote most of the New Testament, basically, for who? For Christ. Didn't come out of Paul's mouth. It came from the Father, through the Son. 21. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. They didn't know me. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. I mean, he's out and he's coming and he's had a change. Do you know that's the beauty of Christianity? It can change people. It can take an old piece of pottery that's clinked and broke up and maybe even about to die and convert it into a man of war. I'm talking of spiritual war. Somebody that amounts to something. Somebody that God can use. Verse 24, and they glorified God in me. Why? Because God had chosen him. And because, well, did they just glorify? No, because of what he had. You know, judge a person, man, woman, or child, by what they've got, what they know, what they can say. And judge whether it be of God or traditions of men. It's up to you. Because it's your life is the path you choose. Nobody else chooses it for you. It's strictly up to you. And when you have all the good advice and bad, and you try to separate that you should atone to and that you should cast off, let it be accursed, then you walk that path. And whatever happens to you, you kind of ask for it yourself. Therefore, you always need his blessings. And you know what helps a lot? Nobody is perfect. And sometimes when we walk that path, you can hear a bunch of garbage and think it's straight from God. And all it is a bunch of garbage. And you rub that garbage all into your mind and think it's hot stuff. When you had the word all the time. Isn't that sad? poor, miserable creatures and how they love to be toyed with. But that sounds so exciting. Yeah, garbage always does, doesn't it? Be real careful, my friend. God is separating. God separated Paul, who was, I mean, he was wicked to the church. And God said, that's the one I want. Look at that zealous lad. He's the one. He was with me before. I know what he can do for me. And bam, he separated him out from the others. And he talked to him and straightened him along the way. And now Paul become that teacher and the writer of, most of the New Testament. We could go, we're not going to, but we could go to Matthew chapter 25, where it would say that God called together in the final judgment all nations, and he separated the sheep from the goats. And he said to his sheep, he said, inasmuch as you bless me, I'm going to bless you. And he said, Master, how did we bless you? He said, every time you helped one of mine, you helped me. And then he said to the goats that kicked and punched and upset stuff, muddied the clear water where people couldn't see truth, he said, you can go to hell. He separated them. That's what it comes down to. God is a separator. And it's good. But you see, as Paul is telling you, there comes a time after you're elected. That doesn't make you any better than anyone else. It means you know God's word. The simple truth. Not something complicated. Not something all muddied. But the truth of the word, of what's going down and what you're supposed to do about it. And that way, you must separate yourself from what you know is garbage. Or you can listen to it and twist your mind up. That's okay. You know, if you want to be twisted, have to it. You know, we're not hard up for students. Never have been. And you sure don't want troublemakers in your midst. So let people pick their own way. Don't ever go beg some troublemaker to, please come back, won't you? Well, you're asking for it, all right. Separate, my friend. God did. Now, again, we're not to judge people. And God can change anybody he chooses. He changed old Paul. And he did a good job of it, because Paul brought many souls to the Lord and showed a correct way in which we can follow and make that decision. Let's go to the Old Testament. Let's find out what it has. Does God change? Or does the Old Testament hang in with the same message? Jeremiah chapter 51. Let's pick it up with verse 44. You want to be a part of Babylon? Do you know what the word Babylon means? It means confusion, babble, all right? Have you ever heard somebody babble? Did it make sense to you? Well, you know, well, no, it didn't, but they said it was holy. Well, can you be deceived? Did it really sound holy? Okay. Babylon is confusion, and God is not the author of confusion, but peace. He brings you peace of mind. Okay, verse 44. And I will punish Baal in Babylon, and I will bring both out of his mouth that which he hath swallowed up, and the nation shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. Well, wonder when that happened. Wonder when the nation stopped going there, when there was payoff for oil from the food money. Okay? No more profits there. You have to apply sometimes a little bit to the prophecy is always active. Okay? My people, go ye out of the midst of her. Get out of there. Separate yourself. That's the subject. And deliver ye every man his soul from the furious anger of the Lord. God's anger is coming. It's the vials. They're going to be poured out. And you need to know that. They're going to be poured out, and God's anger is not fun, especially if you deserve it. Hey, if you love Him, guess what? You don't deserve it. It's not. If it was poured right on you, it wouldn't hurt you. Why? He loves you. Okay, and lest your heart faint and you fear for the rumor that shall be heard in the land. A rumor from both come one year, and after that in another year shall come a rumor, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. How do you handle rumors? Do you take it as truth? Do you let them see you sweat on your first cruise? How much can you be counted on? Are you a rumor monger? You like to hang in there with rumors? Or do you listen to the Word of God? You know, it doesn't take long to find out what manner of separation you choose in your life. Strictly your choice. Verse 47, therefore, behold, the days come that I will do judgment upon the graven images of Babylon, and her whole land shall become confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Boy, I'll tell you what, do you know where old Babylon is today? Do you know what nation is there? It's Iraq, of course. And when you look at what's happening there, it's not pretty. Then the heaven and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for Babylon, for the spoilers shall come upon her from the north, saith the Lord. Isn't it strange that Turkey wouldn't let us through from the north? We had to kind of go around a little bit. But spoilers is also translated chittim, or chittim in the Hebrew tongue. And they would come in the end times. They're God's people. And Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth. In other words, there's going to be a lot of trouble there. Nations sending fighters and so forth. Open up your eyes, my friend. Separate yourself. You that have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still, remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. You be a watchman and know that city that is the most favorite city of God. But, you know, Jerusalem has been overrun by many peoples. It wasn't even founded by God's people. It was founded by the Jebusites. Filthy, dirty place. And David cleaned it up and gave it a new name. A decent name. That means the city of peace. But there's been very little peace there since that time. But there will be, because the true Prince of Peace is returning. We are confounded. We're confused. How many people are confused? Because we have heard reproach, shame hath covered our faces, for strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. We got the wrong people teaching out of there. Oh, well, how about the Antichrist? He's going to stand in Jerusalem claiming to be Christ himself. Prophecy comes to pass as it's written. Wherefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will do judgment upon her graven images, and through all her land the wounded shall groan. The deceit. Don't be deceived, my friends. You live in a perilous time when deception runs rumor to rumor and from place to place. And you're living right in the middle of it. Don't get caught up. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me, who's talking? God. From me shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. I'm sending them. And it's going to happen exactly the way it's written. And his spoilers are his people, the bruisers. Okay? Verse 54. The sound of a cry cometh from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans. All five dialects, my friend. Because the Lord has spoiled Babylon and destroyed out of her the great voice which her waves do roar like great waters, a noise of their voice. One more verse. Because the spoiler is come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken, every one, and their bows is broken, and the Lord God of recompenses shall surely requite it. He's going to require it. If you were to read the 39th chapter of the great book of Ezekiel, you would find that he who breaks that bow is God himself. And he lets that bow fall, even as it was at Haman Gog, okay? The great valley and the death place of Gog. We're living in a time when many prophecies are coming to pass. See that you don't sleep through it. See that you remain awake. And most of all, see that you separate yourself from traditions of men that make void the Word of God. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. Let me tell you something. We don't have anything to sweat. We don't have anything to worry about. God is in control. And God sends, God separates. And inasmuch as God is separating, do you think he's going to let something harm you as long as you use common sense? He's going to protect you. He's with you. He's before you and he's behind you. Let's go to with verse 6 to pick it up there, and you'll get with it there. Verse 6, Isaiah 52. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. Well, what is his name? Do you know it? His name is Yahweh. And what does it mean? It comes from the etymology of I am that I am. Do you know what that means? That means I can do whatever I want to, wherever I want to, and any time I want to. I can speak and nothing shall become something. His name is Yahweh, and it means our Savior, our Father, our Helper. And he has many names that go with that. Yahweh Jireh. Do you know what Jireh means? That name? It means your help. It means the help, his name with the help that can get it done for you. And he always does when you have the faith. So hang on. There's power in that name. He would send his son, his only begotten, and he would name him after himself. And he would name him in the Hebrew tongue, Yeshua. That when you say Joshua or Jesus in the Hebrew, that's what you're saying, okay? And what does it mean? It means Yahweh's Savior. That was God's way of saving us, was through the Son. Okay, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And he does. And I'm going to tell you something. Here comes one of the greatest separations of all. Can you separate the feet of the Antichrist coming from the feet of the true Christ? It's important, beloved. The method of operation, his M.O. has been given to you in the Word of God over and over. Do you know it? You can't be deceived if you do. Remember it. 8, thy watchman. Are you a watchman? You're supposed to be. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. When it's time, 9, break forth unto joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. You think that's happened yet? No, it hasn't. But he's going to. And you're going to be a part of it if you separate yourself. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. That's going to happen at Armageddon. Let me ask you something. Do you understand the times? Do you understand where we are? And all eyes are going to see that. Do you know why? Verse 11. Depart ye. Depart ye. That means separate. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. What are the vessels of the Lord? His truth. His word. His word that brings forth that truth, that gives you stability and gives you power in his name to do his will, to do his work. Again, he does the separating, but here you see he expects you to. He expects you to make that decision. Verse 12, For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you. Now you listen to the word. The Lord will go before you. And the God of Israel shall be your rearward. In other words, he's going to be behind you also. He's protecting both the front and the back. You don't have... Hey, when you got God doing that for you, what have you got to sweat? Nothing. He takes care of business when you take care of business. When you do his work, he's going to assist you. Separate yourself from that that is unclean, which is to say the lies of Satan, his guidance, his falseness, who's only, he's a dead man walking. Who wants to follow a dead man? You'd be surprised how many are deceived by his soothsayings. Some people can be misled pretty easy, talked into something pretty easy also. For you shall not, we got that, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He's going to be prosperous. He's going to be successful. You want to be successful? He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. We're talking about our Savior. We're talking about the right feet to follow. As many were astonished, they were astoned, which means they were just saturated with that thought, shocked at thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. He was humiliated beyond what you will ever see. He was nailed to the cross. He was spat upon. He was scourged. He had that crown of thorns placed on his forehead. The blood trickled down. And they mocked and partied, gambled for his clothing and his feet. You think that bothered him a whole lot? And he was doing that for you. And you might think, am I worth it? Well, it'd be put us all pretty hard stretched, okay? But he figures so. He sure figures so. 15, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see. That day's coming. And that which they had not heard shall they consider. In other words, he's returning. And every knee is going to bow. And there will be many bowing and say, why didn't I do it right? Why didn't I do some separating? Why did I not listen to the letter that he sent to me, instructing me, guiding me, directing me? That question I'm sure will be asked many times. And I'm sure there will be some that have tried their very best. They will see their mistakes. and how we will mourn those mistakes, but he will not have any part of it. He will be saying, my good and faithful servant, well done. You tried. That's good enough for me. Perfect. So that day's coming. They're all going to see it. He is a divider, and yet at the same time, he is a gatherer. You see, what he divides is the good from the bad. And what he gathers is the good. And that's why he chose you. That's why he chose you. He gathers the good. And he separates out the bad. Do you remember that great 13th chapter of the book of Revelations concerning the tares? How that the devil planted them, they grew up, and finally that time came and the angels gathered them out. They separated the wheat from the chaff. They separated the tares from the wheat. They burned them. But there's another little close to that. Turn with me in closing to Matthew chapter 13. I want to show you what the kingdom of heaven is truly like. Matthew chapter 13, we'll pick it up with verse 47. He was giving these parables as to what it was like, how you could count on the kingdom of heaven. You know what the kingdom is, don't you? That's the king and his dominion. That's everywhere. Matthew 13, verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Now, was the net, did it discriminate as to who it caught in it? No, it caught everything. That's the way God does. Which when it was full, they drew it to shore, sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. This is how the kingdom is, my friend. At the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Do you know what this word sever is in the Greek? It's aphorizo. It's the same word as separate. And that's what happens when you sever. Only sever is added that the sword of the Lord does a little bit of slicing here, spiritually speaking. He separates them. Who does? God does, through his own. Verse 50, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, have you understood all these things? All these things? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then he said unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of the treasures things new and old, things separated, good, and things bad. It handles both. It takes care of both. And we save as many of the bad as we can to give them direction. But don't ever play God. Our Father doesn't like that. Do you know what I mean by that statement? Don't ever be the judge of someone or order them which road they should take. They must decide for themselves. What I'm saying, you really can't save anybody. Christ can, through you. But that's why God called him Yeshua, Yahweh's Savior. He's the one that does the saving. Someone would say, yeah, you all do a lot of healing at that church. No, Christ does. Okay, don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget the feet of he that brings this beautiful gospel to us. And let some man tarnish it with sayings and with traditions when it is so beautiful that we can receive and be utilized, separated out for service. Don't ever forget that. That's what the Greek word means, separated out for nothing. No, for service, to serve him, Don't ever forget that. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. Thank you, Father, for separating the good from the bad. Thank you, Father, for converting some that are confused and confounded. And this is why you would say, come out of confusion, Father. We thank you, Father, for that instruction. May we be tools and in service to help bring those out of that confusion. We ask it in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. Amen.